Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. High Strangeness, Volume 3, Story Number 1. My mom grew up in a rural part of Guatemala, where witchcraft was a real thing, and has so many stories of the weird shit she and her brothers and sisters experienced there. Of all the stories she tells, the creepiest one deals with a young apprentice to a witch doctor who traveled around the country healing people. He was murdered west of Guatemala City, and they had to arrange to bring his body back to be buried. They paid bottom dollar to have some poor bastard go pick up the body and bring it back in his pickup. The guy gets there, loads the coffin on his truck, and starts heading back. But his truck breaks down on the way. He gets out and frantically tries to get the truck back on the road, as he has to be back in time for the services to start. He is completely alone in the dark hours of the early morning, and a man in a nice suit comes from out of nowhere to help him out. The man gets his truck back in working order and walks back down the road into the darkness. The guy gets the body back in time, and after some prep, they begin the services. He happens to walk by the open coffin to pay his respects and sees that the dead man in the coffin is the very same man who had helped him with his truck. To this day, I get shivers thinking about it. Story number 2. When I was a kid, I spent a lot of time at this house that was the headquarters for a small theater company that I worked for. There were several stories that people had about seeing various ghostly things there. But one of the ones that kept coming up was a ghost cat that a couple of different people claimed to have seen. Now fast forward to 2 years ago. My girlfriend and I were staying at the house for a few weeks while we were working on a show. She had only become involved at the theater recently, so didn't know any of the old stories. There was an actual cat living there at the time, and we always slept with the door closed because we're both allergic. So one night, I wake up to her getting out of bed and saying something like, "Come on, Persephone, get out of here." Then bend down as if to pick something up, then gasps, and a moment later climbs back into bed. The next morning, she told me that she had a dream where she heard the door open, got up to see a cat in the room, and figured Persephone had pushed the door open and come in. So she got up to pick her up and put her out again. But when she reached down to grab the cat, it just disappeared. Since that's not what's supposed to happen, she just figured it was a dream. So I said to her, "I think you met the ghost cat, actually." And she was like, "What ghost cat?" So I told her the story of it, and she asked me to describe what people had seen. A white, short-haired cat as opposed to Persephone, who is gray and long-haired. At which point she sort of freaked out because what she had seen had not appeared to be white, but she had just assumed it looked that way because of lighting or something. Next story. I was in the 7th grade and we just moved into a mill town house. One of the houses built close by a dam and textile mill that used to house the families of mill workers. The upstairs area always gave me an eerie feeling, but I shrugged it off as the discomfort of living in a new place. From the beginning, I had trouble sleeping and was jolted awake in the middle of the night repeatedly for no apparent reason. Then I started hearing the thumping. It started as occasional soft thump seemingly coming from the attic. I had my dad check it out to ease my mind, but he found no explanation. Fast forward a few weeks, the occasional knocking was becoming louder, and I continued to wake up in the middle of the night. One night I was jolted awake again, but this time I heard a loud bang, accompanied by the sound of breaking plastic. I looked to my window across the room, and the blinds had been completely torn and were in disarray. My door was closed. The windows were closed, and the house was locked up tight. I don't think I've ever run so fast in my life. I made it downstairs pretty quickly, and the sound woke my parents up. So they went upstairs to check it out. They found no clause or explanation. I slept on the couch downstairs until we moved shortly afterwards. As an update to the original, my parents still live in the neighborhood not far from that house, and I've noticed that it never keeps an occupant for too long. Also, I never experienced anything similar until this year, in which I'm living in an apartment with three other people. and on occasion on which one of us has been home alone around 2 a.m., we've heard knocking sounds as if someone is at the door. My roommate's experience, the knocking quit when she answered the front door. In my experience, the knocking stopped when I turned the lights on. Whichever way you think about it, it's pretty eerie. Next story. I was in my first year at university, completely new to the city and its surroundings. One evening, my friend and I decided to take a trip to the mall. It was 8 p.m. and we got on a bus that my friend claimed would take us to the mall. We ended up at an empty bus terminal, and it was around 10 at that time. We waited and waited for another bus back, and there was no one there but us. A while later, an old man walked by and told us that since it was so late, another bus wouldn't be coming for an hour or so. He told us to turn and walk down the road, and we would find a bus stop in the middle where a bus would come soon. We followed his instructions and entered a single-lane road with tall trees on each side. There were only a few street lamps working, so the area was dimly lit. The road was sort of built on a slant. Our bus stop was in the middle, so we could see all the way up the road and down the road. And it was a single-lane road. All we could see was the road and the trees on either side for at least half a kilometer on each side. Anyway, so we're waiting and waiting. My phone battery died, and my friend had forgotten hers in her dorm room. We're starting to think there wouldn't be any bus coming and started to panic. Then, as we're waiting, I turn around and see two kids with backpacks walking down the road. I was relieved to see them, and so was my friend. When they were close by, I asked them if they knew about any buses coming. These were two kids, maybe around 12 or 13. One was a boy and the other was a girl. Both had backpacks. Here's our conversation. Not exact, but close enough. Me, hey, do you know if there's any buses coming? Boy. Let me check, takes phones out, walks toward the bus stop sign. But it's empty and doesn't say the timing nor the stop number. Just a picture of a bus. I knew this from before. Me. The timings aren't there, and there's no number to text either. I've looked at it before. Boy. Still looking at phone. Oh, it's okay. Your bus will be here in 10 minutes, I think. Meanwhile, during this conversation, my friend started talking to the girl. Girl. Where are you guys from? Friend. We just started university here. What about you? Girl. Oh, we're in school, and we're just going back home from school. Friend. Oh, okay. After the boy told me that the bus would be here in 10 minutes, I turned my head to tell my friend this. Turned my head back to thank the boy, and he was gone. Gone. The girl and the boy were nowhere to be seen. I literally probably looked away for a second max. We both looked down the road, up the road, and by the trees. They had a fence around them, but even if they went there, we would have seen them. I literally looked away for a second. Needless to say, both of us were scared as hell until our bus arrived. It was the last bus, and it was around 12:17 a.m. when the bus finally arrived. I know because we asked the time from the bus driver. I asked my brother about the area later. I didn't tell him what had happened. He said that there was a graveyard there. And then it hit me that what the hell would 2 13-year-olds be doing in the middle of nowhere coming back from school at midnight? I didn't believe in the paranormal activities, but I can't seem to find any explanation for this one. Next story. I was driving home with my then girlfriend from a beach up north of us, and it was around 10 p.m. We were on a deserted country road, and I'm doing about 110 as I just wanted to get home. She was mostly asleep in the passenger seat, and I had the radio off and was listening to the engine purr. We had about 25 miles before our turn, so I was just watching the edge of my headlights for deer and stuff, when I saw taillights appear from an intersection like someone had turned and flipped their brake lights on. I started slowing down, and my girlfriend woke up from the speed change. The next thing either of us remembers a police officer knocking on my window, waking us up. It's 3 a.m, and the intersection I saw the lights at is no more than a half mile down the road behind us. He asked us what we were doing, and neither of us could come up with a good response. So he told us to keep going, as we were pretty hard to see off to the side of the road. Bottom line, my girlfriend and I lost 5 hours while driving and have no idea how it happened. Next story. Me and some buddies were bored one night and decided to head out and poke around an abandoned mental hospital. For those asking, it was a rich mental institution in Arvada, Colorado. Anyway, the only way in was through the autopsy room. The rest of the place was pretty much sealed off. So we go in, me, another guy, and two girls. As soon as we get into the autopsy room, one of the girls starts hyperventilating and crying. She said she just couldn't be there anymore. We tried everything we could to convince her everything was going to be fine, to no avail. She wanted to leave, and wanted to leave now. Disappointed, we decided we had to leave. Two girls were walking in front of us, one trying to comfort the other, while me and the other dude walked a bit of a way behind. I don't know what brought me to look back. Morbid curiosity, maybe? But I did. Now, I'll admit, it was dark. But the moon was out, so it wasn't pitch black. Still, I know what I saw. A window on the second floor, what looked like a little girl in a white dress staring back at us. I looked for a good 10 seconds, stopped my buddy, and had him look without taking my eyes off the thing, and asked him specifically, "Do you see that?" I thought I might have been seeing things, or maybe it was a trick of the light. But no, we both saw it and stared for a good 20 seconds after. I might have thought it was some kind of trick, but after 20 seconds or so, it moved. We got the F out of there and passed the girls screaming at them to get in the car. Is it possible it could have been some other person there who happened to bring a girl who might have looked from a distance to be a lot younger than she was? Sure. There were no other cars around, though, so whoever it was would have had to walk a pretty good distance to get there. It could have also been a homeless family that was using the place for warmth. Who knows? All I know is that what I saw was a little girl in a white dress staring at us from the second-story window of an abandoned mental hospital at 2 in the goddamn morning. Next story. I was at my girlfriend's house and she has two cats. One of them is a big fat cat named Taz. He's a pretty creepy cat. I'll often catch him staring at me from under a desk or from the shadows. I was talking to my girlfriend in the kitchen when I saw a man in my peripheral. I turned to look, but it was just Taz. I continued talking and saw a man again, much more clearly, but still like a shade in my peripheral again. My girlfriend told me previously she's sensitive to spirits and stuff, and while I'm not strictly believing in such things, I'd humor her. This time, though, after seeing this man shape over Taz, I asked her if she saw him too. She told me she did, that it was her uncle who gave her Taz. She preferred not to acknowledge him because she hated him. Since then, I've stopped seeing him, but Taz is still really creepy. Next story. I was in my dad's office at his old house around 1 in the morning. Let me give you the layout. Once you open the door to walk out of the office, you have a direct view of the hallway in front of you, and that connects to the stairs to the second floor. I was playing Halo online and I heard a bouncing ball being thrown from the stairs, hitting each stair on the way down, then the tile floor. It was unusual because I knew no one was upstairs at the time. My little brother was in the den area watching TV. My older brother was in the couch asleep. My parents were in their bedroom asleep. I assume one of my brothers happened to go upstairs for some reason, and along the way they kicked the ball or something. So I just continued playing Halo. Well, I heard it again, but this time it bounced all the way down the hallway and hit the door, which was closed. I got mad because I didn't want my brothers to wake my parents because I just didn't feel like hearing them yell. So I got up mad and flung the door open to tell them to knock that shit off. Well, when I opened the door, I looked down the hallway and up the stairs and noticed a small girl at the top of the stairs in a formal white dress. I stared for about 5 seconds and then closed the door. I wanted to see if I opened up again, she was still there. But at the same time, I didn't want to open the door and realize it was standing right in front of the door, or, you know, some of the shit you see in horror movies. So I grabbed my phone and called my little brother, hoping he was still awake and hadn't dozed off watching TV. When he answered, I told him to come to the office to check out this sweet double headshot I got. So I hear his footsteps coming from the 10. When he comes to the door, I just say, oh, never mind, and start walking towards the den really fast. I didn't tell anyone until the morning because it sounded made up. Now, there's a second story. This is the same house. I was asleep in my room on the second floor. This takes place about 2 weeks after the first incident. So after the second week, I just assume what I saw was just my imagination because lack of sleep. So I was playing another game online in my room. It's about 2 a.m. My older brother is at his mom's house, and my little brother had dozed off on my bed behind me. So the TV set is up. It's next to my door. It's about 2 hours of straight online gameplay when I hear footsteps coming up the stairs. I assumed it was my dad coming to tell me to turn down the TV. But halfway through, I thought, why wouldn't he just call me on my phone to tell me instead of getting out of bed and coming all the way upstairs? So I just anticipated the door to open. I quit my current game I was playing and turned down the TV before he would even ask. I just said out loud, all right, it's turned down. I heard the footsteps stop. I didn't hear any steps going back downstairs. I want to open the door to see if anything was standing on the stairs or something. I was just, should I? I had music playing and the game was on the menu screen. I just stared at the door waiting for my dad to open it. It popped open just a little. After like a good 5 minutes, nothing. Another 5 minutes, nothing. Then the door just swings open very hard, but stops at a halt before it hits the door, so no noise was made. I got up, slid my brother's phone across the hallway into his room. I then called it and hid my phone. I woke my brother up to tell him his phone was ringing. He got up and asked what his phone was doing in the other room. I just say, I don't know, maybe he had left it there. I ended up going to sleep about 10 minutes later. Fast forward to the morning. My dad comes in the room to tell me he's leaving to work if I need anything to call him. I tell him, why did he barely open the door last night and leave? He says he never came upstairs. I just dismissed it mainly because I didn't want to think about it. My dad headed downstairs and I heard him start his car and take off. He left my door open just a little. I felt pressure on the edge of the bed like if someone would have sat down. I thought it was my little brother about to play the Xbox or something and wanted to sit on my bed. The pressure was then gone like if someone had gotten up and the door slammed shut really hard. I got up, pissed as hell, to tell my brother to cut his shit out. When I opened the door, I have a direct view downstairs through the hallway to my dad's office. I see the same little girl standing in front of the office door. I slowly closed the door and turned the TV on because for some reason I thought, if you have sound in the room, ghosts just leave. I yelled for my brother's name and he comes running upstairs thinking something happened. I just asked him, where's my phone? He pointed it out and we went downstairs together. I told him what I saw and he just shrugged it off. Fast forward 2 years. My dad moves into a new three-story house downtown. Historical home in Texas that was one of the largest ranches at one point. First floor was a usual living room, kitchen, office, bathroom, like that. Second was my room, brother's room, bathroom, my parents' room. Third floor was my dad's man cave where he would smoke his bong and whatnot and watch movies and man cave things. I set up my Xbox in there because it had the biggest TV. So the layout on the third floor is like a room with the back part of the room leveled up. So you can set up a couch up there. So when you watch a movie, the couch is in front of the TV, won't block the view. It had three small attics up there connected to the walls. Two in the back and one to the left of the TV. So I loaded up Battlefield. And during the loading screen, you know how it turns black and the little loading blue bar just shows on the screen at the bottom right. So I could see the reflection of everything behind me every time the loading screen would show up. So after one of the online matches, I was in the loading screen when it popped up and I saw a reflection of the TV to the back of the room and one of the back attic doors, which had opened up a little along with a little squeak. I just got up and slowly closed the door and put a blanket on the bottom of the door so it wouldn't open again so easily. A few minutes later, the loading screen comes on again and the other attic door pops open behind me. I was in waiting mode, but I played it cool because I didn't want whatever was there to know I was freaked out, just to freak me out even more. I grabbed another blanket and did the same thing to this door. The only attic door left was the one to the left of the TV, which was in my view. After about 30 minutes or so, this one just flew open, making a loud-ass bang. I saw a small shadow figure standing in the back of the attic room. I just got up casually, put the controller down, and walked down the stairs, very calm and cool. Didn't look back. Once the door was in front of me to leave the third floor to the second floor, I became a Kenyan and just bolted the F out of the third floor down the second floor into the kitchen and outside the house and played with my dogs for a while. Now, this takes place, this next story, at my mom's old house. One night, me and my brother stayed up watching Whammy Plus and Lingo. It's getting really late and we didn't want to go back to our room, so my brother went out and got blankets so that we could sleep on the couch. Only having two couches, I was left to sleep on the floor. I went and grabbed a small floor mat to sleep on the floor with. About 1 hour in, my brothers fall asleep, leave me watching TV by myself. I was pretty excited, knowing that they were asleep because I could sneak a peek at some late-night adult movies on HBO. So I turned the volume down on the TV so they wouldn't hear anything. As I'm reaching for the remote, I see a reflection in the kitchen. I thought maybe my parents were watching TV and it was a light from the TV or something. I noticed my mom's room was closed, so I then came to the conclusion that it must have been a car parked outside on the side street with its headlights coming through the windows or something. The light turned into an orb and started floating closer to me in a swaying motion. I would say float really slow. I froze up, unable to speak or move. I got goosebumps all over my body, and my hair started to stand up on my skin. It was a very strange feeling. I could hear me making noises, trying to scream for my brother to wake up. The orb got about 10 feet from me and made its shape into a man wearing a suit with a hat. I couldn't make out a face, but he did have a beard. He stood there in the dining room just staring at me. This went on for about 10 seconds, but felt like a lifetime. He just walked into my brother's room and I was able to move again. I just flipped the shit out, and this time I didn't make any quick excuse to wake someone up. I shook my brothers, telling them to wake up, and just yelled for my mom. I told them what happened. My mom cleared things up with me, telling me I had nothing to worry about. My great-grandpa had lived in the house before we moved in, and he had passed away in his sleep in my brother's room. I went on to see him about two more times, once in the doorway of my room and another when I was leaving the kitchen. He was sitting in a chair in the dining room. Next story. Back in 2007, my grandpa finally lost his 20-year battle with leukemia. My grandma couldn't manage well being alone in the house they lived in for almost 60 years. We moved my grandma into an assisted living residence a few months later, and for insurance reasons, vacant property, my parents asked me if I'd like to move into the house so that I could watch the house, and also to move out and not live at home. I said, absolutely. I remember right after he passed away, strange things started happening. The portrait we had of him in the living room fell off its hook. Picture frames containing pictures of him flipped onto their front during the night. I didn't mind that, though, because I thought my grandma was making it up. Before I moved in, my family got a big dumpster so we could clean some of the clutter out of the house. Since we'd spend most of the day cleaning and it was summer, we'd bring the family dog with us. My grandpa loved our dog dearly, but since he passed, my dog wouldn't go down to the basement anymore, where my grandpa spent most of his time in his office. She refused to go into the basement at all. As a matter of fact, she barked at the stairway a few times. This was weird since our dog almost never barked. It finally made me think, he's here. I moved in shortly after. While I lived there, things went missing all the time. I had bought a new lock set to change the back door lock, brought it home and put it in the cupboard to tackle on the weekend. A few days later, I go to change the lock and it's gone. After a week of looking around, I finally found it in the trunk of my uncle's old BMW 2002, which he stored in the garage. I happened to be looking at the car. My grandpa was always a prankster, so I almost came to expect these occurrences. He used to wake up at 5:30 every morning to listen to the early news on the radio in the kitchen. I'd wake up some mornings and the radio would be on. I often heard typewriter noises coming from his office in the basement. It became comforting. I found myself talking to my grandpa out loud, having conversations with him. I missed him. After about 6 months, suddenly, I wasn't hearing any noises anymore. Nothing was going missing. The radio wasn't turning on at 5:30. I shrugged it off for a few days, but it started to worry me. I went back to my parents and grabbed the dog, brought her back. She was apprehensive at first, but she entered the house. There was an issue, though. Every time she'd been over since my grandpa died, as I mentioned earlier, she refused to go downstairs. This time, though, she went downstairs and went right to his office. Nothing was any different about the office, but she wasn't barking. She wasn't pacing. She wasn't doing anything. That's when I realized he was gone. I broke down. Suddenly, I felt incredibly alone, even though it'd been about 8 months since he died. It was the first time I'd felt like he was truly gone. Next story. As a frame of reference, this is a story that happened to my friends. We've been friends since high school. But the shared experience only came to light several months ago after he experienced this situation and told me about it. That conversation happened over IM. I now live in California. And I remember it was some ridiculous hour for both of us. He lives in Oxford, England. Now, but at the time of this event, he was visiting a family member, an uncle, about 20 kilometers northeast of Cobourg, Ontario. That's relevant only because it means he was demonstrably out in the sticks, as he put it. His uncle owned a nice house and a large plot of land, but he didn't work it like his neighbors. This was farmland, but he was the owner of a small construction company and had done well enough to own a lot of acreage without the need to do anything productive with it. He kept a parcel of it around the house well manicured, but beyond that, there was a lot of bush that was wild, stretching over a cliff in any direction from the house. He apparently got to his place by heading up one of those ridiculously long and unpleasant dirt driveways that people with land tend to have. My friend says it was ironic, given his uncle's job. He focused mainly on infrastructure contracts, roads, bridges. Anyway, his uncle had some money in an area that didn't really have much. He also had arguably the nicest house and the nicest lawn and the largest, ugliest, most unkempt plot of lands in the area. My friend liked his uncle, but acknowledges he was not a popular man, either with his employees or with his neighbors. The uncle knew this, so when he decided to head to the Florida Keys with his girlfriend, post-second ex-wife, he decided to fly my friend into town to house-sit. My friend was just finishing his own first divorce and needed a break from England and the nobody but his wife that he knew there. So, he had no premonitions of bad things, no sense of foreboding like I did. He showed up with just a suitcase of clothes. The house was stocked with food and booze and 1,000 cable channels, Wi-Fi, and an outdoor hot tub, which, by the way, is an amazing thing in winter in Canada. He'd been there a couple of days, was spending a total of 8 by himself, when the first real snowfall started happening. In Canada, at the start of winter, you'll generally get a couple days or weeks of fitful, wispy snow that doesn't have the endurance or weight to stick around for more than an hour. But after a while, the cold seeps into the ground, the flakes suddenly get heavier, and one day, or in this case, one night, you're looking at a calm, heavy snowfall that you know will change the landscape in a couple of hours. This was a night like that. He decided, since it wasn't abominably cold outside and that he already had a couple of beers, that it would be a great idea to flip open the lid in the hot tub and soak while it snowed. He's right. It really is a spectacular idea. And if you ever get the chance to be in a hot tub outside when it's snowing, I recommend it, especially at night. For anyone who's never been in a heavy snowfall, not a blizzard that involves heavy snowfall and high winds, it makes everything extremely peaceful. This is because you lose sight of most everything beyond a couple of hundred feet and it gets incredibly quiet. Snow is a great sound insulator, and as it falls around you in heavy curtains and slowly builds up on the ground, you get less and less of the ambient noise you're used to. So even what little there is at night in winter in the country, even that goes away. All he could hear was the compressor on the central heating unit and the bubbles in the tub. The water jets in his tubs were timed to go off after 15 minutes and had to be turned on by poking a button. you wanted more. So after 20 minutes, he's sitting in silence. The only noise he hears was the house settling in the cold under the weight of the new snow, and whatever sounds he made himself. The only light he had were in the tub and coming from the sliding door that led to the kitchen, but he was facing away from the house, looking out over the property and rolling landscape that described much of the farmland outside of Coburg. Now he describes, this next part is very similar to an experience I once had. He was considering going inside for another drink, staring absentmindedly down to the water of the pool, zoning out on the refracted light from the bulb underneath. When he looked up, he saw a shape darker than everything around it slowly moving across the yard, about a quarter of the distance out from the edge of the woods and where he was. He didn't hear any snow crunch footfalls or hear any twigs or branches snapping. He assured me it was quiet enough to hear a pin drop. He watched it for a few minutes. It was moving extremely slow, so much as he couldn't determine it was actually walking or just moving. He decided to call out to it, hoping it was a neighbor, or as he put it, some hot chick wanting to warm up in the jacuzzi. It froze. It went so still, my friend had trouble seeing it anymore. My friend was scared too. He was in his underwear, outside in the cold, in a tub of water. He felt pretty exposed. He shifted his head slightly and confirmed it was still there. It was blocking the lighter, snow-covered pines behind it. At this point, he killed the lights in the hot tub, which made sense at the time. He wanted to be able to see whatever it was better, and the lights were interfering with that. As soon as the light went out, this thing started moving toward my friend, faster this time, at a steady walk. It was at this time he noticed that it had no defined edges. It was vaguely man-shaped, two arms, two legs, head, and very thin. My friend said that at this point he wigged out, threw his empty beer bottle at it, which had no effect at all, and then lurched out of the hot tub, across the deck, and into the kitchen. He slammed the sliding door shut, and when he did, he slipped on the tile floor. He grabbed for the counter, but got a mason jar of flour or sugar instead, and that went sailing off to explode all over the kitchen floor. So there he is, sitting on the floor, surrounded by broken glass and flour, back against the counter, sliding door to his left. He pushed the rest of it shut with his left foot and looked out. It was standing just at the other side of the hot tub, and he swears it was looking up directly at him. It's a lot easier to see now, and he remembers it being like a bad animation of dense black scribbles, or like a weird twitchy transmission from a sci-fi movie. There were those vertical gray plastic blinds on the sliding door, so he reached up for the pull chain and drew them across the window and shuttered them. He says he sat there afraid to move for over an hour until he calmed down and reassured himself a dozen times he'd been drunk or sleepy and made it all up. Then he remembered laughing at how pissed his uncle was going to be. The mason jar had cracked the floor tile when it landed. Construction people hate that shit. So he gingerly got up, noted a few bruises and a cut, and then spent about 20 minutes sweeping and wiping up the mess. By then, after another beer to calm his nerves, he decided that being afraid of the dark was bullshit and wanted to go back outside to soak his bruises before bed. He remembered really having to work hard to open the blinds. He compared it to the first time he jumped off a full-size diving board when he was a kid. He stood there for up to 15 minutes screwing up the courage to make the jump. He said this felt exactly like it. Most of him wanted to lock up all the doors and hide in bed until morning, but my friend is extremely stubborn and not a little macho, even alone. Finally, he started opening the blinds. He also turned on the exterior porch light before he went out. He stepped out into the cold and saw absolutely nothing weird. All signs of the weird black man shape were gone. He stared into the woods and all around the yard. All that he could see, he found nothing at all. He remembered being unsettled by something when he was looking around, but couldn't figure out what. So he took his fresh beer and got back into the tub. He'd been in there relaxing about 10 minutes when he glanced up to find his beer, saw it, grabbed it, and got a mouthful of snow. He remembered staring at the bottle for a few moments, completely confused. Then he looked around and saw another beer sitting on the other side, his fresh beer. He could still see the liquid in it. He was holding the bottle he threw, still in a state of shock, like just before it hit you. He looked out over the yard and saw tracks all over it, all the same footprints, which was in the shape of a foot, but missing separate toes, all the way up to the hot tub. And the part that put him over the edge, I could have already evacuated my bowels by now, was that none of the tracks got within 10 feet of the edge of the lawn. None of them started at the edge of the woods. They all started and ended in the yard. At this point, with the last bit of stubbornness violently erased, he bolted inside, left the tub running all night, because whatever. He closed and locked the sliding doors, flicked on the security system, and ran upstairs to the guest room and played video games with the lights cracked on until he saw light outside. The next morning, he ate breakfast, bundled up, and went outside to scope the area in the daylight. It had kept snowing all night, but the tracks and their disposition were still pretty visible. The only thing different was the hot tub had been closed and turned off. Several hours of snow lay on top of it, along with two empty beer bottles.